Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
We're under the condemnation of death, but Jesus comes to die in your place. Here is grace, grace at the cross. So Paul says, as he describes the gospel, Christ died for our sins.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Jesus' death on the cross was the ultimate expression of God's love and forgiveness. And because of His perfect sacrifice, anyone can be saved through faith alone in Christ alone. Today, Pastor John Monroe helps us prepare for Easter with grace at the cross.
This week, we're taking a short break from our study in Revelation as we pause to reflect on the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, let's come to the cross of Christ. Have you ever wondered why Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, an innocent man, had to die such a horrific death? What is the significance of his death? It seems such a tragedy. But at the cross of Christ, we see the wisdom of God and the power of God and the purposes of God at work. So today, we come to Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place where the Romans do their killing. On the cross, the Lamb of God is taking away the sin of the world. Listen now as we consider grace at the cross.
Why does Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, an innocent man, have to die such a horrific death? Is it simply the tragic end of a man whose death demonstrates what love really is? Or is there something more significant, something more profound, something more compelling about all of this? Indeed, there is. Turn, if you have your Bible there, to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Because we're going to see from this passage that on the cross, Jesus becomes a curse for you. Do you understand that? Galatians 3, verse 10, Paul writes, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" That is, every single person who is not able to comply 100% of the time with 100% of the commandments and regulations of the law, anyone who comes short is under a curse. As far as the law is concerned, to be accepted by God, you must obey the law 100% of the time, and you must obey it in every single detail. James tells us that in James 2, verse 10. He said, "Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it." And of course, it's not a matter of us just breaking the law for 15 seconds. Or on an occasional basis, repeatedly, over and over and over again throughout our lives, we come short of God's standards, repeatedly. And therefore, God is telling us, and the Bible is telling us, you're under the curse of God. But notice verse 13. Here is the gospel. Christ, that is the Messiah, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree." Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 21, that in the Old Testament times, if an individual was hanged on a tree, he was under a curse. Hanging on a tree demonstrated that the individual had broken the law of God and was under God's condemnation. "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Jesus not only died a horrible death, he died a particular death. He died on a tree. He died on a piece of wood. He died on a cross. Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He uses the word for tree, not the word for cross. He hangs on a tree. Why? Jesus dies hanging on a tree, the place of the curse. He wears the very crown of thorns. The thorns are the symbol of the curse of God. And on the cross, our perfect Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the eternal God, is cursed by God. He who from all of eternity lives face to face with God in unbroken harmony and union and communion, and he now enters into the darkness of death. He's abandoned by his Father, and he is suffering the indescribable curse of God. He goes into the place of judgment, the place of condemnation, the place of wrath. You ask why? Paul tells us that Christ does this to redeem us from the curse of the law. How does Christ redeem us from the curse of the law? Answer, verse 13, by becoming a curse for us. Aren't you glad there's that little phrase, for us? He bears the judgment and the condemnation of God, which we deserve. He takes our curse so that we may receive the blessing of God and the grace of God. What's the opposite of a curse? Blessing. And because he takes our curse, because he becomes the curse for us, there is now offered to us redemption, blessing in the grace of God. On the cross, Jesus takes your place. He dies for you. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 5, verse 8 regarding this. He says that God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Notice the words again, for us. He becomes the curse for us. He dies for us. In great love, God, seeing our dilemma, realizing that we by ourselves cannot obey his law, his law which is perfect, his law which is good, he sends his Son to die for us. Do you ever think of it that way? Who was responsible for putting Jesus on the cross? Was it Judas who betrayed him? Was it Peter who denied him? Was it Pontius Pilate, that weak, vacillating judge? Was it the religious establishment who conspired against him? Was it the crowd who shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Was it the Roman soldiers who nailed him to the cross? Well, yes, all are responsible. All have a part. But if we understand the Bible, we understand that a higher and a greater hand was behind all of this. So that Paul so wonderfully in Romans 8 can say, regarding the Father, he did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. It was the Father who gave up his Son, his beautiful Son, his lovely Son, his perfect Son, to die on that rough Roman tree. So Paul can say, as he personalizes it, he says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is, the Father sends the Son, that God so loves the world that he gave his only Son. But the Son, please grasp this, the Son goes to the cross willingly. That wonderful passage in John 10, where Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He says, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Isn't that wonderful? So that in love, Jesus dies not as a victim, not by accident, not even as a martyr, He dies willingly. He dies voluntarily as your substitute. You know what a substitute is. A substitute is one who takes the place of another. As you look at Jesus on the cross, he is there in your place. He is your substitute. He takes your place. This is what Paul is saying in Romans 5:8, that God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus didn't die for his own sins. He dies willingly on our behalf as a substitute. He died in my place on my behalf. He died instead of me. That crown of thorns that he wore should have been worn by you. These nails that were put through his hands, his feet, should have been put through your hands and your feet. That rough spear that was thrust into his side should have been thrust into your side. He dies as a substitute. If you know the biblical record, you know that at the time that the Roman governor Pontius Pilate is vacillating as to what he wants to do, like a poor judge, he doesn't want to make a decision. He wants to please the crowd. And yes, he really wants to do the same thing. And so in an attempt to get him out of this dilemma, he thinks of a solution. There was a custom at that time that a criminal, someone who was about to die, would be released. And so he presents the crowd with a choice. They can release one man. Here is Jesus. Even Pontius Pilate says he's innocent. People know that. They know who Jesus is. He's this great healer. Never man spoke like this man. He's here. He's innocent. He's the perfect Christ. Over here is a man called Barabbas. He's a robber. He's a murderer. Today we'd call him a terrorist. He's the kind of individual that would go into a building and leave a bomb and disappear and blow people up. He's that kind of man. It would seem an obvious choice. Why would you choose a terrorist over an innocent man? And Pilate gives them the choice. And you know what they do. They choose Barabbas. And Barabbas is set free. And Barabbas does not die on the cross because Jesus died for him. He died in the place of Barabbas. Barabbas is set free. Jesus dies. You say, well, I'm not like Barabbas. Well, I doubt if any of us here are terrorists or murderers, perhaps. But all of us have sinned. All of us have come short. And we dethrone God and we enthrone ourselves. We put ourselves at the center of our universe. We want to live our own lives, as Barabbas did. And we put ourselves where only God should be. That is at the very center of our lives. What's God's answer to condemn us? No, in love, he sends Jesus so that he is in your place. Death on a cross. We're under the condemnation of death, but Jesus comes to die in your place. Here is grace. Grace at the cross. So Paul says, as he describes the gospel, Christ died for our sins. I want you to personalize that and say, Christ died for my sins according to the scripture. All of our sin is placed on him. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, prophesying down through the years of this event, says in his wonderful prophecy in what we call Isaiah 53 regarding the Messiah, he says he was pierced through. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He is pierced for your sins. He is crushed. The iniquities are presented as a weight crushing on Christ. These are your iniquities. These are your sins. The Savior comes to take our place as our substitute voluntarily taking that place so that we may be redeemed and we may be saved. Who's responsible for the death of Jesus? Many answers. But the answer I want to say tonight is that you're responsible. I'm responsible. Horatius Bonner writes, "'Twas I that shed the sacred blood." Do you believe that? "I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery. Around the cross, the throng I see, mocking the sufferer's groan. Yet still my voice, it seems to be, as if I mocked alone." You say that was 2,000 years ago. I had nothing to do with it. Yes, you did. I was there. It was my sin that put him on the tree. But the wonder is this, that although my sin put Christ on the tree, and although my voice shouted, "Crucify him," in great love, the Savior comes to die in the place of John Monroe, to die in your place. As a boy, we used to sing this old hymn. I haven't heard it for years. "Was it for me alone, the Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendor of the sky? Was it for me he came to die? Was it for me he wept and prayed, my load of sin before him laid, that night within Gethsemane? Was it for me that agony? Was it for me he bowed his head upon the cross and freely shed his precious blood, that crimson tide? Was it for me the Savior died? It was for me. Yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King." Do you believe that? Do you believe that he died for you? With all of your sin, with all of your rebellion, he comes and comes into our place. And it was our sin that put him on the tree. It was my sin that put him on the tree. And God, in great love for John Monroe, sends his son for me so that I can be free. Why did Jesus die on the cross? He died for you. He died for you, for your sins, not his own. He's your substitute. Our sins send him to the cross. His love for us sends him to the cross to die for our sins. We have sinned, and God in Christ has suffered. And here at the cross is grace. I read that passage from Luke, a wonderful passage of grace, which was offered to a violent man. Because as you know, when Jesus was crucified, he was crucified between two robbers. A couple of other terrorists, nasty guys. I'm sure they had a long list of previous convictions. I'm sure they had lived a life of self-indulgence and violence and murder and trying to exploit others, and justice had caught up with them, and they are now under the sentence of death, as was rightly the verdict. One mocks Christ as he's dying, and the other man, can you think of this? A man who's about to die, a violent man, a nasty individual, he looks to Jesus and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You say, that's some nerve. A man who's violent. Now he's repenting, a bit late now, isn't it? It's not what Jesus says. Jesus says to him, "Truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." That's love. That's forgiveness. That's grace at the cross. And this man, this thief on the cross, reminds us that very, very bad people can be saved. Aren't you glad of that? Because some of you here are very, very bad people, including the man who's talking to you. And that God's grace is extended to a very bad person, a thief, a murderer, a violent criminal deserving to die. And some of you here feel that you've committed some terrible sins, and I'm sure you have. The cross reminds us that God's forgiveness and God's grace reaches to the depths of human evil. That's the power of the grace of God. It's only God who can do that. Yes, you have offended God. Yes, you're without excuse. You deserve to be condemnation. But in love, Jesus dies for you. He dies for very bad people. He dies for very wicked people. Paul says in Romans 4, he dies for the ungodly, for the wicked. Will you respond as the thief did? Will you look to Jesus? That's your only hope. Will you trust him? Trust the Savior for salvation. For you, there is grace at the cross. But this thief also reminds us that salvation is found by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. What could this man do to change his circumstances? He's pinned to a cross. He can't get off it. There's no use telling him to join the church. There's no use telling him that he has to go through the sacraments of the church and be baptized and take communion, or that he needs to go through some behavior modification. He needs to clean up his act. It's too late for that. The man can do absolutely nothing. He can't feed the homeless. He can't give money. He's totally unable to lift one finger to save himself. Isn't that the wonder of salvation? It reminds us that God's salvation is perfectly accomplished in Jesus. It is by grace alone, and grace is unmerited, it's undeserved, it's God's kindness and compassion demonstrated to you. Of course you don't deserve it. It's done in love, and God loves you. In an instant, this man is transformed from darkness to light, from sin to salvation, from condemnation to justification, and indeed glorification as he entered into paradise itself. Will you invite Jesus into your life, your heart today? There's grace for you at the cross.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a lesson titled Grace at the Cross. If you'd like to revisit any part of this message or share it with a friend, you can do that by visiting our website at theverdict.org. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our monthly email list to get the latest ministry updates from John. Again, just go to theverdict.org. On our website, you'll also find details for attending or live streaming our Easter Sunday services here at Calvary Church, home of The Verdict. We're located in Charlotte, North Carolina. And whether you can join us in person or through our live stream online, we'd love to have you be part of our Easter celebration. And if you're a listener who values these daily teachings here on The Verdict, would you consider helping us share them with other listeners by supporting our ministry with a donation of any amount? By helping us cover the cost to produce and distribute these biblical messages, you'll be playing an essential part in sharing the gospel with new listeners across the globe. You can easily give a one-time donation of any amount when you go to theverdict.org. Or if you'd rather send a check through the mail, address your envelope to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And before we close, please make sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, now featuring John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. You can listen on your favorite podcast app and through our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you being changed by the cross of Christ? It's not so much a question of people taking his life, but rather Jesus as the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. I marvel that at the cross I see Jesus bearing my sin, dying in my place. Be like the thief on the cross, look to Jesus, acknowledge your sinfulness, and trust him as your Savior. And join me next time as we think of the wonder and the significance of God giving us his beloved Son.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.